So Carla has described the sort of the national scope of this project, and Miriam's talked about it at a regional level, and I'm going to tell you a little about our project in Minnesota. We're one of the lucky states to get funding out of this cooperative agreement, and I'm happy to be here today to share with you a little bit about what we've done. I would like for you to be able to get out of this sense of a systems-level approach to teen pregnancy prevention. I hope that you'll understand how CDC's science-based approaches framework can be applied at a local level. I'd like it if you could identify some reasons for selecting particular local partners when we're done, and I hope that you can recognize the important roles that flexibility and creativity play in our everyday work, especially when you're trying to work on these complicated issues. I'd like to tell you just a little about MOAP. This is the Minnesota Organization on Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention and Parenting. We're a Minnesota nonprofit. We've been around for about 16 years now. And our mission is to develop and strengthen policies and programs that promote adolescent sexual health, prevent adolescent pregnancy, and support adolescent parents. So we do that in a variety of ways. We do that by providing resources and training to those who are working on the front lines. We inform the public policy process in our state at local, city, county, and state levels. We do a lot of outreach to the populations that are most impacted by teen pregnancy, and we are actively communicating about the issues all the time with the media, with our website. We've got an e-monthly newsletter. We've got a quarterly print newsletter, the usual drill. We found that the Prevention Institute Spectrum of Prevention is a really great way for us to describe what we do. So our work happens inside of all of these different levels, from strengthening a parent's ability to talk to their child openly and honestly about sexual health, to providing trainings on science-based approaches and programs to community-based organizations, to informing the policy-making process at our state legislature. So you can see that the higher up you go in the way that this is laid out here, it's also laid out in other ways, in other formats, but the higher up you go, the broader the impact. So from changing one parent's interaction with their child around sexual health, which is extremely important, to changing a state statute around teens' access to confidential sexual health services. So we use this to describe our work. And I'd like to tell you a little about one of the projects that we are working on to promote science-based approaches and programs that we do it with the CDC support. I'd like to illustrate how we've tied the work of that CDC framework that Carla shared with you and the results of our encouraging others in our state to do the same thing. So I'm going to tell you about, I'm going to kind of bounce between CDC's framework and what we've done to make that real. CDC has emphasized the wisdom of using a logic model, and all of our work rests within our project logic model. It's a very elegant logic model, which is attached to the handouts that you have. Very happy with that and think that it does a good job of explaining what we do with this project. So within our model, we describe our efforts with three different audiences. We build the capacity of local organizations to implement science-based approaches and programs. We encourage decision makers to base funding decisions on science. We've worked with foundations, with legislators, with the state departments of health and education, as well as city and county governments. We build support in the general public for science-based approaches and programs through our interactions with the media, through newsletters, through public forums. So in today's presentation, I'm going to focus on one of our projects with decision makers in a county government. So CDC's framework that Carla described encourages us to use data to focus our efforts. What a novel approach. Not for CDC, but for the world. In Minnesota, that always leads us back to Hennepin County. Hennepin County is our largest county, our most populous county. It's more than double the size of the next largest county in the state. And it's the one with the greatest number of both births and pregnancies, teen births and pregnancies in the state. It's consistently ranked as one of the top 10 in the state for pregnancy rates and birth rates to 15 to 17-year-olds. But there's more than just these data. Hennepin County and Moab have a long-standing relationship. We've had with all kinds of people within that government. So I had worked at Hennepin County for 7 years before coming to Moab, and I knew a lot of the people there who knew how to make things happen. Is there anybody else here from county who used to be or is in county government? It's a very intense bureaucratic place, and it's important to know the right pressure points in order to make some things happen. While I worked at the county, I had been on Moab's board of directors, and so I had been talking about Moab and building Moab's reputation with anybody who'd listen to me for being a reliable source of information. So the county and Moab had worked together on a variety of projects throughout the years. We worked on the media campaign for parents. We hosted trainings for Hennepin County teachers. We partnered on some national initiatives. Our previous executive director had also made her own connections based on the work that she'd done during her tenure. And importantly, both of us had built a relationship with one of the county's commissioners who really, really wanted to make a strong statement about teen pregnancy, to really do something to lower the rates in the county. So for those of you who haven't worked in a county, that's a very important relationship to have, because when the county commissioner says jump, everybody else says how high. Well, sometime after I left the county to take the reins at Moab, the county administrator, another strong champion for these issues, she really wants to end teen pregnancy in Hennepin County, she formed a new department called the Strategic Initiatives and Community Engagement Department. And they made teen pregnancy prevention and youth development one of their first priorities. So I met with several of their new staff and over a few months' time, and I realized how much potential there was right at that point in time for this new department really to take some big steps forward on the issue. I started to talk to both county staff and the commissioner about building buy-in for science-based approaches to teen pregnancy prevention in just a couple of cities within the county, knowing that, as Miriam has described, focusing on a smaller area and seeing some results fast can really build support for focusing on a broader area a little bit later. So I knew that if the commissioner extended some invitations to the school superintendents, to the Parks and Recs department, to those leaders within those cities, and then if the county staff were ready to take on the next steps of whatever got decided, that we could likely get something really good off the ground. I had resources to offer as well. With our cooperative agreement with the CDC, I was able to invite and have Sarah Brown, who is the executive director of the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy, to lend national credence to the importance of focusing on these issues. And she was in a position to talk about things that had happened in other parts of the country and to really recommend some concrete steps that we could all take together with the county and the communities. So working with the commissioner's office and the department staff, we chose two cities, and I'll tell you a little bit about how in a minute, but they were represented by two different commissioners, including the chair of the board, so it was also sort of a political decision. And we invited those city school superintendents and the directors of Parks and Rec to a gathering that featured Sarah Brown, as well as some local resources that could illustrate what could happen if you put teen pregnancy prevention on the ground. So we had the State Department of Education there. We had the County Health Department, Planned Parenthood's Education Department, that county administrator who I said started this incredible new department, and then some key MOAP staff as well as county staff. So I want to take you just back for just a second to the CDC framework so you can see what I hoped we would make happen at that meeting. The CDC framework asks us to ground our interventions in health behavior or health education theory. And I have been trying to distill sort of the essence of good teen pregnancy prevention into edible sort of tasty nuggets for people to digest for a long time. And I think that I've captured some of that. I want to be here. This is where I want to be. I think I've captured the things that I know to date about what really makes a difference for this issue. So we know that young people need information and skills. We know that they need access to family planning services for those who are sexually active, and we know that they need there needs to be some motivation to not get pregnant. I think that these three things encompass much of what we know in the field, that many of the proven curricula are based in social learning theory. Sexually active young people can prevent too early pregnancy, HIV and STDs, when they know what steps to take to do so. And young people are motivated to either wait or they're motivated to wait to become sexually active or to use condoms and contraceptives when they have some hope for their futures. So these are the three components that I emphasized in all of my conversations with the county staff and the commissioner. These are the three points that I asked Sarah Brown to emphasize when she came to Minnesota. And these are the three things that ended up in Hennepin County's work plan. So let me take just a second to talk again about CDC's framework. They have asked us to select, to adapt if necessary, and to implement science-based programs. As you know, proven sexuality education curricula in schools make a big difference and in community-based organizations. So one component of the plan that I recommended is proven sexuality education curricula. And thanks to the work of curriculum writers and the publishers and Doug Kirby and the National Campaign and Advocates for Youth, we know a lot about those curricula that can make a difference in behavioral outcomes for teenagers. Another component is access to family planning services. In addition to the data on the efficacy of various methods, there are emerging best practices for clinic-based interventions, which I think Carla alluded to. We use both the National Campaign and Advocates for Youth's information on these. Share that with others. And the third component is motivation. And I know that you know this. There's a great big body of research now about the fact that quality youth development programs can have a very positive impact in young people's lives. And that service learning seems to be key, as well as time for reflection about the experience. That seems to really make a big difference. So we have hung our hat on the Teen Outreach Program, which was recently recommended by the Brookings Institution for every junior high school student in the country because of its cost-effectiveness and its remarkable behavioral results, or potential for those kind of results. So the CDC's framework asks us to evaluate our work, and we didn't have very aggressive measures for this level of work. We said that we would track the number and the content of the materials that we created to share with decision makers, that we'd track the number and characteristics of the people who came to our briefings, and the number of state and local decision makers who participated in our other trainings and technical assistance activities. One of the things I wish that we'd put in, and I'll get to this in a second, is the amount of new or redirected funding that came out of our efforts. So I'm going to tell you a little about that in just a minute. So the policy impacts from our perspective that happened sort of at this higher level were that we got buy-in. We got the buy-in that teen pregnancy prevention and youth development, they became a primary focus of a brand new department within the largest county of our state. The department designated one FTE to this effort, which is huge in county terms, and superintendents and park and rec departments agreed to be part of the project. So what happened next is part of the story, too, and I'd like to walk you through what's happened in Hennepin County using the same framework. Okay, so back to Carla's guidelines. The CDC framework encourages us to ground our work in a logic model. At the county level, they've developed a plan that includes a vision that they will dramatically reduce teen pregnancy in Hennepin County when all communities within the county provide a strong foundation for all youth that includes information, family planning services, and hope for the future. What do you think? Sounds a lot like what I said earlier. I'm pretty excited. Okay. They have decided that their strategy is going to be to pilot projects in two cities that they will rigorously evaluate and hopefully ultimately replicate throughout the county. and that their intent really is to saturate those two cities with responsible sex education, family planning services, and youth development programs. The CDC framework points us toward using data to identify where to focus our efforts. And again, we use data. I love geomapping. If you haven't used it, I hope you get a chance to play with it. But this is a geomap of the teen birth rates in Hennepin County. And the darker the color, the higher the rates. So outside of Minneapolis proper, several suburbs stand out. And this project, Brooklyn Center and Richfield, became the intervention cities. There one's just north of Minneapolis, one is just south of Minneapolis. The data supported that choice, as did all kinds of politics. So remember that the CDC framework asks us to emphasize science-based programs, and the county's plan covers this through responsible sex education. They're planning a sex education summit for the two districts, sort of a quiet, out-of-the-limelight discussion for the superintendents, for the teachers, for the school board members, at which time they're going to share the results from focus groups they did with young people in those districts where they asked them, how's the sex ed in your school? You can imagine what kinds of responses they got. Family planning services are another component of the project, and importantly, the county is planning to fund existing family planning service providers in the two cities to increase their outreach to teens. And then youth development programs. The county wants to strengthen existing programs, maybe support some new ones, and the goal here is really to make sure that all of the young people in these two cities have something outside of the school day that they can participate in. So the mechanisms the county is employing to get there are competitive grants. They're going to provide training and technical assistance, and they are doing a rigorous evaluation. The CDC encourages us to conduct evaluation, and Hennepin County is going to do that by, right now they're going through the RFP process, and once the programs are selected, they'll be designing their evaluation. And then with the Teen Outreach Program, they're going to do some do their own evaluation of how teen outreach plays out in one of the cities, and they'll be looking at the typical measures that top influences, including school failure, substance use, pregnancy, and sexual behavior. So the policy impacts here are that the county board passed a resolution to support 2 years of funding at $400,000 for this teen pregnancy prevention initiative. There are two school districts who are now revisiting their sex education curricula and policies, and a county department has issued an RFP for proposals to fund responsible sex education, clinic outreach, and youth development programs in these two cities. We also know that one school district, we've held the first of the teen outreach program trainings, and they loved it so much that they are not only implementing it in their alternative learning center, but they have made it an elective in the regular high school and an optional after-school activity for students in the district.